Good evening, boys. Suffolk Graham here from Rand Nerds.
Same old.
Welcome to episode 231 of the Rand Nerds podcast. Rapidly approaching our Christmas podcast.
200 and what?
231.
It baffles me every time. There's so many podcasts. It's insane.
Well, we started back in 2013.
And 2013?
Yes, 2013 we started. August 2013 we started. And
yeah.
We were originally monthly, and then we went to, when we started live streaming it very shortly, that's where we started basically doing it bi-weekly. We had a couple bits where we faded for a few months, but then came back.
Yeah.
But yeah, now we are sort of like, we've been consistently, I think, every fortnight for the last few years. It's been good.
All right.
Yeah.
We just have the
bit of cider.
Oh yeah, that's your poison of the night.
Yeah, I've got just my usual Magnus cider tonight.
Oh yeah, that needs to be like a regular thing. Today's poison is
yeah.
I have a Tuborg Classic.
Tuborg beer. Classic.
Yeah.
What's classic about it?
The taste.
Ah, fair enough.
It's old.
No, just out of curiosity, see, you can't see my webcam, but I can see yours. And that can looks quite small. What size can is that?
That's like 33 centiliters.
Is that sort of like your standard size for beer in Denmark?
We have two sizes. We have this, and then we have like 0.5 liters, so 50 centiliters.
So we
close
have...
Close to a pint.
Yeah. Because we're awkward and we only sort of halfway went towards metrication. We don't ask. We have two sizes for our beer cans. We have pint size, which is 568 milliliters. Then, like, your standard size is 440 milliliters. That's your standard size you buy from anywhere. They'll generally sell it. You have to, like, generally, if you like buy a big pack, that'll be what size you get in it. Unless you buy a four pack, it tends to be the pint can size usually, but it does vary by quite a bit.
Your metric system is messed up, dude.
Well, it's because we did it half heartedly. It was like, metric, yeah, great. Metric's really good. It's great for lots of things. But let's keep
that's
the
not it. That's not it, Ram. That's not it. It's because you're greedy. It's like, all these metric systems, we need them all. Let's adapt all of them. Everything is messed.
Yeah, let's have all the measurement systems out there. Let's have imperial and metric. And just to be awkward, we'll use a different imperial system to the Americans just to be awkward.
Yeah.
Because nothing tallies up. Nothing agrees. it's just a mess. We never really properly went for it. We should have done. And it would be a lot easier if we had. Things would be a lot simpler if we had. But it's... And just in day-to-day life, you meet people and they'll muck up. My experience of work is I work in DIY sector and so forth. And my experience with people is they absolutely muck up and peel anyway. They can't use and peel properly anyway. They'll come in and they'll like ask for something that's 36 inches instead of 3 feet. It's like, well, you measure in feet. It's 3 foot. It's not 36 inches, it's 3 foot. Or they'll ask you for... 3.25 inches. No, it's 3.25. You don't have 0.25. You don't, decimal inches is not a thing. You know, Americans, I think, now have decimal inches, but we don't have that. It's all quarters, eighths, 16, 30 seconds, 64ths. Because it has to be fractions.
Do you have, like, people coming from different parts of the country that use, like, different metric systems? Like, so this part of the country, people usually use miles. This part of the country, people use kilometers. This part, it's inches. This is centimeters and so on and so forth.
I wouldn't say location specific. I would say it's industry specific. So if you got someone who works like in engineering and stuff will probably use metric most of the time and will talk to things in metric. But your average Joe... in my experiences, they'll tend to switch to both systems. Like builders are a good example. Builders tend to do all their kitchen fitting and stuff in like metric. They're like, oh yeah, 600 mil units, a 500 mil units, a 3 meter worktop, that sort of thing. However, right. They'll happily buy a sheet of 8 foot by 4 foot material as well. So, because that's the thing, is all our basically when they switched over, rather than really changing things, they just literally like went to the nearest metric measurement to whatever we already had. So an 8-foot sheet of wood is sold as 2,440 millimeters by 1,220 millimeters, because that's the nearest measurement 8-foot. It's all silly. So hence the beer. Beer cans are sold in pints as 568 milliliters, because that's the closest to a pint. You know, they could have done it to a 500 and just made it easy. But like milk's a fantastic example. You'll go and you'll buy milk, and you'll buy milk basically in like pint, 1 pint, 2 pint, 4 pint, but it won't be on the table. It'll be to the nearest litre size, so it would be like 2.2 litres, because that's the nearest.
That's messed up, dude.
It's mental.
So what I was trying to get at when I asked the question is, so you could end up having a teacher in school or different teachers in school that use different, you know, systems or whatever you call it. Like,
I think schools in general teach metric. I think most schools teach metric. Okay. Imperial tends to be from the fact that it gets passed down, and so forth. You know, it's because it's been passed down from like parent to children. It gets passed down. People get just exposed to it all the time.
All right.
But I say most people don't use Imperial properly anyway. It's just I just don't know why. Imperial's fine at small stuff, but as soon as you deal with anything big, it's just a nightmare when it comes to measuring things. But it's like, with such a harsh process system, so for example, you go to the petrol station, you'll buy your fuel in litres. But you'll drive on the road and you'll drive miles per hour. Yeah. And your car is measured in miles per gallon rather than kilometres, 100 kilometres per litre. There's still some old measures. So like, I've noticed now more manufacturers like cars now list their car's power in a mixture of, because the correct we should use is kilowatt power, but they actually measure in, most cars still measure somewhat in horsepower, but you'll get both measurements generally. But most manufacturers need to push towards. You tend to find that anything in my experience, most engineered stuff tends to point towards metric. Like cars stuff tend to be all measured in metric and stuff, but it's like, it's still the old boys basically still using Imperial. And it's still, I mean, I'll just give you another example. If you go in and you want to buy a 5mm screw, if you want to buy an Imperial, it's a number 10. But what does the 10 mean? It means nothing. It's just, I want number 8, please. That's a 4mm screw. It's basically, it's double whatever it is in Imperial, so number 8 is a 4mm screw.
Yeah.
It's everything is so complicated. I want
the fact that you as a person has to, you have to know these things. So therefore you have to, like, otherwise you're screwed.
Yeah.
You went to buy these screws and you don't know the measurements. Either you need to know the measurements or the number, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically
messed up.
Yeah. I mean, that's where my job comes in, as translating and converting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I always realize when people say, oh, it says 150 centimeters. What's that in English? That was 150 centimeters. We've been technically a metric country since the 70s, so it's 150 centimeters. If you want an old money, it's 5 foot in old money. That's what it is. Oh, it's just an absolute nightmare. From start to finish, it's a nightmare. We've got a board cutting machine that works. We'll cut people's boards to size. It's a German-made machine, which means it's all totally in metric, which is fine. But someone will come to you, they want something cut to, but all the zeroing, so you have like a zero point on it, which is where you measure from. And so that will be set at like, that's like a third of the way into the machine. So the idea is, you'll have a slide like rule, which you slide to a stop, and that'll be to the left-hand side of the zero point. So you say you want 50 centimetres cut off a board, you'll set that to 50, and then you put the board and lock the machine at the zero point, and that'll cut you lovely 50 centimetres, nice and easy. And then you have like a 1 metre slot and a 2 metre slot, so you can like add a metre on each time to cut it on. Fine, but that slide goes up to only about just over a metre on one side. Which means if someone then comes in and asks for something in like more than, which a meter is roughly 39 inches in old money. So 3 foot 3 inches, roughly. So someone comes along and wants something like 48 inches, you have to convert to metric, otherwise you will not be able to do it on that machine, because you will just have to guess it.
Yeah.
It's, Oh, Zabe, it's honestly, it's a nightmare. But I mean, in my day-to-day life, I use metric for pretty much everything. I'll measure all my sub-measurements are done in metric. When I fit up a kitchen, I just work in metric. It's easier. It's so much easier than imperial.
We went full out lazy in Denmark. It's like meters and kilometers, you know, liters.
Yeah.
Then that's basically it. We have certain things where it's like when it comes to inches as well. Some of the measurement stuff we can get, you can turn them around and then it's inches on one side and centimeters on the other one.
That's normally because a lot of hardware stuff is made is made in the States, so you just put both measurements on it.
Yeah.
Or it's sold. It plans to be sold in the States as well, so it has both measurements on it. I'm unusual. I've got a tape measure. I own a tape measure, which is metric only. That's very rare to see. Most tape measures you buy have both measurements on it.
That's a good way to screw with your neighbor. If they come over, hey, can I borrow your measure? Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, I've done good luck figuring that one out. I've lent it to people and they've come back really confused. I don't understand this. All right, we'll prepare to learn. Yeah, I envy not having to deal with an outdated ancient system, because the trouble is, I suppose you've been brought out of metric, you don't have the joy of having to add different measurements together.
No.
Imperial was fine. So that if you want to add, say if you're adding 6 inches to 3 inches, that's fine. If you want to add 6 1/4 inches to 3 1/8 inches, that's when you have to get the maths out. That's when it gets awkward and complicated, because really, I still believe that fractions only taught schools simply for the fact that we still use imperial measurements. Because the only thing I can think of that uses fractions still, FELs is sort of, you know, decimal based.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm curious actually, did they teach fractions at school when you were at school?
Yeah.
They did. Okay, fair enough. Well, at least you can work, so you can use imperial measurements. Congratulations. You'll be fine if you come over here to be a builder.
I can't remember any of the shit they taught me in school, dude.
Yeah.
I can't remember any of it.
Yeah.
So even if I was taught all this stuff, I don't know how to do it no more.
Yeah.
Because we don't have to. Everything is dumbed down. Like lazy mode, Danish mode. We love it.
There's a lot to be said for lazy mode. It makes life easier.
Well, it does. And then you can focus on other shit that actually matters, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, well, that's my rant on the metric and appeal system, over.
Well, it's a rant. It has to be done, dude. It has to be done.
it's a random tradition to have a rant every now and again. It is a random tradition. So, have you been up to much Saber then?
Not much. I haven't actually played much of any games. I've been setting up a new mic.
Tell us about your new mic.
My new mic is awesome. End of story.
Your point notice he sounds a lot better this time.
Yes. And I used it for the first time yesterday on the games night. And it's good. I mean, this room here, well, you can't see. Well, you can see at the time, but this is a tiny room.
Oh, I can see you. You can't see me, but I can see you.
Well, I can see you right over there. I can see the stream.
But then you see me as a delay. That's cheating. I can see you live.
Yeah, yeah. It's cheating. But yeah, it's not acoustically treated. I'm not gonna. The other condenser mic I had, which I haven't actually used for anything that we've done, I think, there's too much echo going on, too much ambience and stuff in this room. Getting this one, which is the Shure SM7B. It's a microphone that a lot of podcasters use. It's a very popular mic. But it's, I can't remember what the hell it's type of microphone it is. It doesn't work like a condenser. There's a name for it. I can't remember. But it works different. So it doesn't pick up as much. It picks up a wee bit, but not as much as the other mic did. It's awesome. Having, especially someone like me that, well, loves quality. This is perfect.
And it's so nice to hear the sort of like deep, sexy Danish tones come through.
Oh, yeah.
So our listeners will be able to enjoy that from now forevermore on both this and Games Night. And yes. Yeah, the audio and Games Night, that sounded really good. I've nearly finished editing what we recorded last night. I've nearly finished it. I've got like 18 more minutes to edit, and then that'll be done. And so
that's the thing. I had, you are. You were behind at one point, and now you're ahead. That's awesome. And I even ran into a little bit of issues with the setup here, because I've been used to using, what the hell is it? What is it? This. I've been using this, the headset I've been using. It is an Astro A20. It's a great headset. Sounds amazing. The microphone is decent for what it does. And it was originally bought to be used with my Xbox.
Yeah. For online gaming and stuff, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect for online gaming, but it's not perfect for podcasting or slightly better quality.
Yeah. And my audio interface has just been used to record guitars and stuff like that, not so much microphones. So I went into a little bit of an issue after we'd recorded yesterday's Games Night, because I figured out, hey, because I was checking up on the quality of it, and I was like, hang on a sec, why is my dialogue only in the left ear and not in nothing in the right? So I started getting the video footage into a editing software, and I could see that there was it was a stereo track where my microphone was only in the left side. So I started checking up on it online, and I could see, hey, you got to change it from stereo to mono. Otherwise, it will do that when you have two inputs. So, yeah.
Oh, dear.
That's now been sorted, because, I haven't been using this for this type of stuff before. I've always, when I used to stream back in the day, I used the Audio-Technica condenser mic, which is a USB mic, and that just works by default, one track.
Yeah. No, luckily it was an easy fix. I've had a lot of issues with left-hand only tracks in the last few edits. I've solved the issue now. I know what the problem was. I've fixed it now.
Yeah, because I noticed it on some of the videos that was getting uploaded, and I wrote you, I was like, dude, I think something's wrong.
Translation, dude, you fucked up.
I didn't say that.
I could feel it coming through the text.
No, I didn't. I was more like, hey, Ram, I'm just,
just to let you know, you fucked up.
Letting you know that there's an issue. And you can handle it or not. That's up to you,
Luckily, the issue was it was literally a setting, one single setting that I had to. Trouble is, I've learned my lesson now. I tend to edit with normal speakers, not with headphones. Because I try and avoid using headphones if I can, because, hearing damage and that sort of thing. I try and avoid using too much, only when I need to.
Yeah.
So I tend to edit with normal speakers, which on normal speakers, you can't really tell. That was only on the left-hand side. You can sort of, if you listen out, you can just about hear it. Put headphones on, you can tell it instantly. So what was happening was, when I was actually not noticing what was happening, and basically just simply the track had been set wrong. Just literally, it's just a drop-down button, changed the track, sorted it, re-rendered out, re-uploaded it, job done. But, yeah. Well,
that's a lot easier for you now, huh?
Yeah.
Since you got your fiber, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm now full fiber. Yeah, that's... So, put it this way, right? I uploaded... So, my sister does YouTube as well. And I edited her videos. So I uploaded three of her videos for yesterday. They are 10 minutes long each. HD. Fairly reasonable bit rate. Upload them. Normally, that would take me about 30 minutes to upload those videos, but if they're about 10
minutes.
Like
per video?
No, total. About 30 minutes. Play 35, something like that. For three videos. How do you think it took me to upload them yesterday? Or Monday, sorry.
6 minutes.
30 seconds.
30 seconds?
30 seconds.
What you... Dude, that's sick.
I was just watching it go... It's just like
the processing takes longer, yeah. On YouTube.
Yeah, I couldn't because normally I sort of like start loading and I'll go and like click a little edit button. I'll set do like all like you know add the end sequence and that sort of stuff. All the editing bits as I go. Yeah. I could normally do all that and walk away. Because normally when I upload like the game ran as games nights, I'll set them uploading and I'll go have some tea and watch TV for a few hours and come back. Because they're gonna be going for like at least couple hours to upload those. So
yeah.
I'm so used to having to just like, oh, I'll get all edited, all the stuff sorted out before I go. I couldn't keep up. They're uploading quicker than I could actually change all the settings on it. Randos, the last two videos I uploaded for Randos took about 10 minutes to upload. And I downloaded, I thought I'm going to play a game. So I downloaded a game the other day. It was like, not a huge game. It was like about four or five gigs. That took about 20 minutes to download. It's like normally I'd have to go away and leave it for an hour or two. It wasn't slow by any means. It wasn't like you were away for days. I mean, I remember once when I was at university downloading GTA Vice City through a mobile phone connection, and that took 26 hours to download. You know, I just left it going for. So I was used to slower connections and so forth. I will put up with them, but now that's incredible. How did I live with this speed for so long?
I miss my fiber, dude. I totally miss my fiber.
Yeah. But then to be fair, you're still getting, compared to the average UK person, you're still getting a lot better speed than the average UK person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can only, you know, measure myself with what others have around me.
Yeah. So I did a speed test of mine, and I'm around about, both up and down, 900 meg is what I'm sitting at the moment.
Disgusting, dude. Disgusting. Disgusting.
For the first, I said to save, it's the first time in my life I've been faster than a Danish man.
Yeah. And I don't like it.
No, of course you don't like it. For once, the Brits have got something slightly better than you. For one time, one thing we do slightly better is I've got a slightly faster internet connection. The first time we haven't, like, because normally you listeners, you don't hear the conversation means Zaber have off air. And normally it's like, yeah, we do this in Britain. Zaber comes on and tells, oh, in Denmark we do this, this, and this. Like, that's so much better. That's just like, it's so much more sensible. It's just incredible.
It's a Danish way. We're just born cocky, you know.
born cocky and lazy is what you're saying.
Yes, but both.
So like you just
the Danish way. Even with naming things, we were lazy. There's like a long ass beetle in Denmark. Yeah,
yeah.
It has like a lot of legs.
Like a millipede.
I don't know what that is. I don't know any of the, like, when it comes to these things, I don't know any of the English words for it. But the Danish one, like, roughly translated, it's called Thousand Legs. Because that was just the easiest way, you know? There it is. Thousand Legs.
I can't fault that as a naming scheme, because people tend to say, there's a breed of sheep that is up in Scotland, and it's got white wool, and all it's like, so it's, the wool part's white, but the rest of it's black. And its name is the Scottish Blackface. So we use a similar. We are similar sort of obvious naming things.
Yeah.
No, it's just. I mean, I would, what I say is to people, Denmark is to UK what UK is to America. America's the hellhole. You know, you just don't get anything. You're just treated like shit from the day you're born to the day you die, unless you're rich. Hey, you've had a small, slight bone break. Good news, it's going to bankrupt you. Yay! I was saying in the UK, but then you hear what Denmark do. It's like it's almost like they saw, like, in the UK you get sorted out. Denmark, it feels like they sort of, like, come round with like grapes and hand feed you every day. By the sounds of it,
look, they do. I have a maid that comes around three times a day and feeds me.
Yeah,
that's what paid by the government. I don't. it's all government issued. Yeah. No, I don't have a maid. I wish I had though. Maybe there's someone in politics that I can have a chat with that can make that shit come through. I don't know. I'll give it a shot.
We used to. I remember when we used to have a cleaner at one point. We used to hire a cleaner, and people used to look at you like,
"What?
You have a cleaner?" But
you posh bastard.
Well, people say that, but she came in like once a week, did like a detailed clean for a couple of hours, and charged us £20. I don't consider that a particularly big expense. I mean, that's not bad. But you go around and say, "Oh yeah, our cleaner's round today." You've got a cleaner, you bastard.
Yeah, posh bastard.
Yeah. No. Oh, I miss our cleaner. She retired. Well, she was already retired, but she retired even more.
She retired. So she was old.
She was old. Yeah, she did it for a bit of extra money to top her pension up. And then when she got too old to do that, she retired further and stopped doing that.
We don't do things like that. If we need a cleaner, we get an au pair. You know?
aren't au pairs like specifically for... I thought they were specifically for like pregnancy.
Au pairs, no. They take care of your kids.
Oh, for some reason, I thought an au pair was specifically for like...
And then you drop all kinds of other shit on them, be like, "Hey, do the laundry, cook the food," you know?
Yeah, you cook off the kids, and you cook the kids' food, but while you're doing that, you cook me food as well.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Yeah.
The Danish way.
It's the Danish way. There's one subclass of Danish citizens who are just the cleaners. that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The subclass.
Oh dear. See, Denmark is all bells and roses.
Nah, it's all fun and games, dude. All fun and games.
Yeah.
So people on the podcast or the people that actually listen to this will learn over time that you shouldn't take anything that come out of my mouth too seriously.
Mate, if Pill took the things we said seriously on the podcast, we'd been in trouble a long time ago. We'd been investigated by the police and all sorts by this point right now. No, if people believe most of the things that we say on podcasts, like we'd be screwed.
Well, podcast and games night.
Oh yeah, and games night. Yeah, yeah.
Vlogs and so on and so forth, dude. I've made videos where I've said things that could have gotten me cancelled today. Like that was more. I wouldn't say okay, but you know,
at the time it was sort of like,
yeah,
accepted at the time.
Yeah. And they're like, but Saber, have you then deleted them videos and those live stream, highlights? And no, I have not. I don't give a shit. So
I don't. If something was the culture and was accepted as part of culture at the time, I don't think it's reasonable to punish somebody for what they said at the time. If that was sort of acceptable at the time, I don't think punish them. What you can is look at what they're doing now, and if they are still, holding those, if they still hold like those attitudes or so forth and sort of doing the same thing, that's then it's a problem. But you can't crucify people for something they did 20 years, something they said 20 years ago, if that's what everybody was saying at the time.
Oh yeah, definitely. If that was the case, that if we had to start doing that, we'd have to start, segmenting history and deleting things out of records and stuff like that as well.
Yeah,
you know?
You look at any comedy like comedy series from like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the amount of jokes that you couldn't do today, the amount of what were acceptable targets back then, you couldn't do. That's why it's important to be able to recognize it's of its time. Mm-hmm. And accept that things have changed and respond to and adapt, to what the modern world and compare and judge people what they do today by today's standards, not what they did 20 years ago by today's standards.
Yeah.
So
the thing is, like some of those, like you said, some of the comedies and stuff like that 20 years back where they said things that wouldn't be, tolerated today. Today, some of them jokes are some of the funniest ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think there's a case of taking the... I don't show how this trend in other countries do it. In the UK, we've very much got a culture of taking the piss, which I don't know if there's a concept... Yeah. I don't know if there's a concept that sort of translates in other countries as well, other countries do a similar thing.
That was where I was conceived, by the way.
What, taking the piss?
Yes.
But I know it's not a particularly American thing. I don't think parents... We Brits very much do self-deprecating humour. We'll take the piss that we'll basically put ourselves down to others for the sake of comedy.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have a good friend, you'll do the exact same thing to them. You'll basically insult them for fun. But it's fine because you know each other well enough that you can do that sort of thing.
Yeah, because you know each other so well that you know it's not with negative intent.
It's not meant. It's because you do it because you like them. Taking the piss, you only take the piss out of your mates. You don't do it out of somebody you don't. You don't do it at somebody you don't like.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know that. I said, I know it's a culture in the UK. I'm not sure if that translates to other countries, if they do similar things.
We do it here too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's actually a more universal thing than it is, but I just that. People, I mean, I see people put on Reddit, particularly a lot of British viewers went up on Reddit, and there are people like basically taking the piss out of somebody. And the comments be like, oh, how cruel is this? And how, yeah, what friends are these? And stuff like, you clearly have no idea how we work and how it works. And
but that's the thing, though, about because if this is posted online for everyone to see, everyone has an opinion about it.
Yeah.
So if you don't want people having an opinion about what it is that you do or what it is that you say, don't post it online.
Yeah.
People are allowed to have their opinions about it. I just don't want to hear it.
But the flip side of that is when you see something online, accept that it's from an international, it could be from an international audience, and think to yourself, well, what does that audience, how does that audience see and respond to it? Joke about it. You got to. It's not. You can't apply your personal worldview to how every other person in the country works. You know, there's humour that you won't get because it's how another country's humour works, but not over here.
I've been taught a saying, roughly translated into English. It is, it's not what you say; it's how you say it, and who you say it to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we basically have the same saying.
Yeah,
basically. I think there is basically there's multiple layers to, particularly the Brits. We tend to be quite sarcastic, and we tend to we can say the same phrase about five different ways that mean same words, but depending on context and how you say it, it's either a friendly bit of banter, an insult, an observation. You know, it's so many different ways you can say the same thing. I say it's British, but I think it's actually a European thing. I think it's just how we tend to do our humour. I don't think most people are as serious as others. But I'm not so multicultural.
I'm fairly sure there's other countries around the world where they don't practice these things, you know?
Or not commonly anyway.
Yeah.
But again, another rant for the day.
Yes.
Rant today.
Number two.
We've done 34 minutes. We've not actually Scars be proud. We've been at this 34 minutes and actually discussed anything game related. He'd be so proud of this right now.
We actually did to a certain extent. I said I hadn't played any games. That is, you know, talking about games.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
That's not entirely true because yesterday I bought the to whoever is listening to this epic podcast, remember to check out Steam. There's an autumn sale. I ended up playing Portal 2. I ended up buying Portal 1. I didn't get to go through the whole thing, but I played for about an hour, a little over an hour, I think.
Which, to be fair, Paul Bon is so short, you're probably a good third of the way through it.
Probably, yeah. But that's what I've played.
It's very different to Paul 2, because we had this conversation yesterday, and I said today, what you'll find is Paul 2, they changed everything about Paul 1, they made it better. So Paul 1 feels quite a step back, but the core mechanic is still there.
Yeah, it is, and the puzzle aspect of it is actually pretty good too.
Oh, the puzzles are good between both. The scale is smaller. But Portal 1 was made by a lot smaller team. It was a mod, I think, for Half-Life originally that called Nubucular Drop. And the team who made that had this, like, came up with the idea of the portal gun and stuff like that. And Valve liked it, basically hired them to come make a proper little game. And they made, and Portal was released as part of the Orange Box. Do you remember the Orange Box coming out many years ago? Yeah.
Yeah. Portal with one, Team Fortress and Half-Life,
Episode 1, Half-Life 2, Episode 1. Was it Episode 2? Might have been Episode 2. But yeah, they released, basically, they released it like as a, you bought the Orange Box, you built it for Half-Life, but you got Team Fortress and Portal thrown in as like a B-side. And it got very popular to the point where it basically became its own game, where people basically, launched a sequel to it and made its own game. And the sequel was such a jump up in scale and so forth. You can feel Portal has been made by a small team in terms like level design, scale, and so forth.
Yeah. It's still pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't expect going backwards and then, you know, the game being prettier and more awesome than the second one. That would be terrible, at least, if that would be the case. But for what I've seen, for what I've played, pretty good. I'm going to enjoy going through the rest of it.
Yeah, that's it. It won't take you very long. No. Ends on a fantastic song. So, I'm more games
again, on the first one?
Yeah.
Okay, ends cool. Really, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, ends on a really good song. Look forward to that. They actually, this is what I like about Valve as well. When they announced, so Ritual Portal 1, the game ends, and this is a minor spoiler of Portal 1, but the end, but it's not exactly a dramatic ending because they changed it. So you get out, you escape. That's the ending of Portal 1. I know.
Oh no, you've ruined the game for me, dude.
Saber.
Oh,
you should have stopped me. I was saying, I was giving you a heads warning. However,
some words hurt, you know.
Oh, you're not going to plug playing anymore.
I'm going to ask for a refund.
Then when Valve decided to do a sequel, they changed the ending cutscene. And patched in cutscene, and patched the games. The ending was different, so it made sense for Portal 2.
All right,
and most other game companies wouldn't do that, but Valve went down and actually changed the ending. So the ending you'll see at the end of Portal 1 is not the original ending; they changed it.
Okay,
so you'll see it when you get there. But enjoy the song.
But enjoy the song.
Enjoy the song.
That's what I'll be playing it for now. Just that one song, dude. You ruined the rest of it.
Mate, you'd laugh at it. I've got the song on one of my playlists. I still listen to it. It's such a good song.
It's that good?
It's a real good song. Yeah, you'll know it when you see it. It was written by Jonathan Cochran, who's like a big... He does a lot of game soundtracks and so forth. And he wrote the song. It's really good. It's really incredibly fun and bouncy and so forth. And yeah, it's very, very good.
Because you're looking forward to it.
Of course, you're encountering GLaDOS pre bitchiness when she was just an AI. And she got all the bitchiness in the second one. But this will make sense why she didn't like you in the second one.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's a good game. Good game. So, well, I have been playing a game as well. Again, Scouts will be very glad to hear that I've been playing. And he is, because I saw him yesterday. We had coffee. So, I've been playing a game called Control, which is a game by Remedy.
He spoke about that game.
Yeah, it's a game that we've definitely mentioned it on podcasts. I don't think we ever properly delved into. Scar's mentioned talking about it. He's definitely mentioned it on podcasts previously. We never did a proper talk about it.
All right.
And it's a really fun game. It's made by Remedy. And Remedy have sort of got going with this, like, sort of... I've a love hate to Remedy. I liked Max Payne 1 and 2. Before they sort of left and lost it. I didn't get on with Alan Wake. I didn't particularly enjoy Alan Wake. I really disliked Alan Wake. I just found it a slog, and I didn't like the character very much, so I struggled with Alan Wake. Apparently, though, I got quite far through it, because I saw the scans about it and how far I got, and apparently I was near the end of the game. I never realised, but I saw drop the game, but I didn't get on with Alan Wake.
Never played it.
No, I didn't like the mechanics of it. I found the mechanics very clunky. Because it's the combat in it is basically, you know, like the original Resident. Have you ever played the original Resident Evil?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Resident Evil.
Yeah, so the original Resident Evil, the combat was a bit clunky and actually quite dealing with zombies was, unless you knew the tricks, was quite difficult. Mm-hmm. Unless you knew the tricks, and they gradually, as time went on, made it easier.
Yeah.
Alan Wake is like that. The combat is a little bit clunky. If you know how to deal with things, it's not too bad. You can't just, you've got to be conservative, you've got to be somewhat conservative with your ammo, you can't just waste it, because you can easily waste your bullets if you're not careful. I just didn't get on with it. I did not get on with the game, and I just don't know why I'm playing this game. So I dropped it. So I picked up Control. I had lots of good things about Control and the gameplay and that, and I have to say, the combat is really good, it's absolutely wonderful. It's clearly heavily inspired by. Have you heard the SCP Foundation? Have you heard of
SCP Foundation?
Yes.
I know of a game called SCP, but I don't know about the SCP Foundation.
So the SCP Foundation basically started as a creative writing website. So okay. Basically, this group of people created this fictional organization called the SCP. Who were a group who were basically to... Because SCP stands for Secure, Contain, Protect.
Yeah.
And basically this group were there to look for and find strange things that happened in our world and basically like secure them and sort of prevent people from accessing. It's a bit like sort of like X-Files-esque and so forth. So the SCP, each sort of like... What people did was they'd write an SCP report on an item that they found. So it might be something mundane like a beer can, but anyone who drinks from the beer can like disappears or something. Like weird stuff. Bit X-Filey, right. Bit like Fringe. There's one which is like a TV studio that if you go into the TV studio, you can't get out, you become part of the audience type thing. All weird sort of like strange ideas and concepts like that. And it became a creative writing thing. It's like sort of pretty free form and people like could vote and, you know, people could write these stories. Basically, stories in the form of a report. So it'd be a report on describing the item, their investigations of it, but it'd be written like an official report. And from that, that's how you sort of got the story of it.
Okay.
And it became like this big, it's a fairly popular thing. It's got like 400 or 500 entries on it now. I'll put a link to the website in the show notes so you can see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's full of these entries, and some of them are really good. You can see some of them are quite sort of really interesting ideas and heavily inspired ideas. And there's some very talented writers on there. And it's all free for people. It's all like, you know, open, people can put whatever they want in there and so forth. That then led to obviously people making games based on it, and so forth. Control is heavily inspired by the SCP Foundation.
Okay.
I think they've actually said that's one of their main inspirations for, I believe. So mm-hmm. Control takes place in this place called the Federal Bureau of Control. Federal Bureau of Control is an organization who are basically there to deal with strange things that happen. Strange, what they call objects of power or altered objects. Mundane things that have become, through the mechanism they don't understand, have started exhibiting strange behaviour. They think it could be down based on a collective psyche, like if you think about something enough, they think it could be based on urban legends. So there's an urban legend about something that can do something. That can actually create an object of power. It's all theories like this. The Federal Bureau of Control was built to secure these objects, investigate them, contain them, and study them. And you basically are your name is Jesse Faden. You are a lass who's been guided to the Fetrabrutal Control. And when she gets there, she finds shit has hit the fan. The building's locked down. No one get in or out, but she managed to get in through with help. And something has happened. They caught the hiss that has basically caused people to be either took over or like it's put like to a stupor where they can't sort of respond. And there's a few people who have been able to protect themselves with what they call these one of their lead scientists built these devices that basically would protect you from the hiss so you couldn't get affected by it. Mm-hmm. And you basically have to, your goal is basically to work your way around and try and find what caused the hiss and how to stop it being a problem. Now, the other sort of concept of the control is you are what's called the director. So there's a person called the director, and they are basically, because the game is partly set in our world, it's partly set in the astral plane, which is like this other dimension. And there's an entity in there called the board who basically select a director. And basically, the director is one of the few people who can use such an object of power. And if other people try to use it, it can actually be problems. So there's like this telephone, like an old school like rotary dial telephone. And mm-hmm. if you pick it up, you can talk to these outer worldly entities called the board. But only the person who's the director who the board selects can do it. Anyone else tries, they just go mad or die. Trying to speak to him.
It's like when you want to dial out a Matrix.
it is basically a way. And so Jesse finds herself. She basically goes into the building looking to find out. She goes straight to the director's office and finds that it appears he shot himself. And there's a gun. And she picks up the gun. And picking up the gun, all of a sudden, the gun like bounds. It gets like bound to her. And basically, and it gets attuned to her. And only she can use it. And and basically she then, by default, becomes a new director because only she can use this gun. And only directors can use this gun. And this gun itself is weird because it's out-of-worldly because it can, like, morph itself into different forms. When you fire, it basically, like, creates bullets itself. So you have no magazines or ammunition to pick up this game. You literally, if you fire your gun, it'll just regenerate ammo by itself. Because the gun—that's what the gun does. It just makes ammo by itself.
Magic gun.
Yeah, and so the game is still split between her investigating the hiss and what's happened, and also like encountering objects of power, or altered objects, and retrieving them or bounding to them. And by doing that, she gains other abilities. And the first—and this is where the game starts becoming great because it's so intelligently designed. The first real ability you pick up is called launch, which is basically telepathy. Oh, sorry, not telepathy, telekinesis. Got that wrong. And you can basically pick things up and throw them. Now, in most games, they wanted to do that sort of system. They'd make it so that you had to, like, you know, aim at something to pick it up and then aim at something else to throw it. That's how most games would do it. Not control. You literally press, and by default, I think by default it's the E key, You press that key. Anything nearby that you could pick up just gets picked up automatically. You don't have to look or aim for it. If there's nothing nearby, you'll rip a bit of concrete out of the wall. You literally just rip something out of the wall. And you get this bit of concrete floating past you.
Let me get this right. You just press E, and if there's something around, you don't even have to look at it. You just get the things.
Yeah, it just picks it up, and it's there ready.
It's made by a Danish guy. It has to be made by a Danish guy.
Where is Remedy based? They are. I'm going to quick look see where Remedy is based because they are European.
Probably not Danish, dude. Probably not Danish.
Well, you said that. Remember, you said about people who made Deep World Galactic were Danish.
Hitman. Oh, what?
Deep World Galactic was made by a Danish company.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that, but there you go. Remedy is based in Finland. They're Finnish. There you go.
That almost counts. They're part of Scandinavia, aren't they?
Yeah, so they're very close. They are very, they're in the area, aren't they?
Yeah.
Vaguely. Okay, there you go.
Close enough.
close enough.
Yeah, Scandinavian brethren. Close enough.
Scandinavian brethren. So, yeah, Finnish game company. There you go. That's why then. But it's just such a simple system, because otherwise launch would be a very frustrating mechanic. But by making it so that you could just pick up anything nearby or rip a bit of concrete out of the wall and it's there, and then you just have to look roughly the direction of an enemy and it'll just get a lock-on signal. As long as you've got that signal, you hit a bandit, it'll just fire and it'll just hit them. And it's a guaranteed hit. If it's locked on, it's going to hit them. You know, even if they're behind something, it'll go through it to hit them. That's so neat. It makes launch like your main power. It has its own separate energy bar. But it just makes it so fun. I think my only sort of criticism of the game is that some of your base powers are so good, you have no real need to change them. So launch, you get it early on in the game, and you'll be using it all the way through to the final boss, because it's just so good, there's no real need to use other powers. You have other powers as well. There's one which is like, and not that your other powers are optional, you don't have to get them, but they are useful. There's one that's called Shield, where basically if you activate it, you just surround yourself with like bits of stone and stuff. So if anyone shoots at you, they hit the stone instead, and not you. You basically make like a force, a little like a concrete wall around you. There's one where you can like seize control of enemies. You'll basically take him over. And that's a prime example of one that doesn't work very well. You can only take enemies over when they're low health. The trouble is, once you upgrade your other abilities, like your gun and your thing, you'll be killing enemies so easily, you'll very rarely get him to the stage where you could take him over. Because you just like, they'll be too high health for you to kill, to take over, and then you'll throw a block of concrete at them and they're dead. So that seize ability, after a certain point, I basically didn't use it because I was just killing things too easily. There's also the other sort of ability you get quite late on, which is useful, was levitate. And again, this is a great example of also games with smart design. So in most games, you would levitate. If you activated it, you'd probably get about 3 or 4 seconds levitation, and then you'd just be back on the ground. Maybe less than that. And you could upgrade. You'd be able to upgrade it perhaps, and towards the end, you'd be quite powerful. In Control, the basic levitate lasts for fucking ages. And you can float about for ages, and so it comes useful immediately. You'll basically spend a lot of the game just towards the end. You'll just spend a lot of the game just floating about above people, just throwing concrete blocks at them. And launch is also great. Right towards the end, you get great, so you can pick up 3 things at once and have launch all 3 simultaneously. It's amazing. It's like it's launching 3 blocks of concrete like a machine gun. It's hilarious. Likewise, your gun can also have different forms. So you can have like 2 forms that you can switch between on the fly with a button on the keyboard or your mouse. But you can also go at any point, go into inventory and change them. So those forms are your different weapons. So the first one you unlock is the, I think it's called Charge, which is like a shotgun. It's like a shotgun. There's one that's like a shotgun. There's one that's like a machine gun. There's one that's like a grenade launcher. There's also one called Pierce, which is like a sniper rifle. It doesn't zoom very much and it has to charge up, but it will do a huge amount of damage when it hits. And you only get perhaps 2 shots of it. In general, though, the basic gun, grip as it's called, is so good and so useful and so well balanced as a weapon. I use that all the way to the end, pretty much. I grip and Pierce. Pierce was good for long range, taking aim out in 1 hit. Grip was up close. I played Scatter for a little while. I played the machine gun for a little while. I found it not particularly useful. I never bothered the machine gun. I unlocked it, but never bothered doing it. So that is probably perhaps my sort of, and it's a real minor criticism of the game, because the game is fantastic. There's no real point to using the other devices, really. You can also grab later on, you can grab the grenade and throw it back at the enemy. Hilarious. With your launch ability. You main sort of mission, which is the story. I like the story. The story is really good. The story is really interesting and all ties together. There's the reason why you're there, the reason why you got there, all sort of links together nicely with your past and so forth. Some of the side missions are pretty good. Some are quite tricky in terms of, there's a lot which are like hunt things down and find things. They can be quite tough. Just trying to find the little things. I struggled with one, which is like find these like mold growths, but they look very similar to just normal molds. It's really hard to find. I had to use a guide to find what they were because I could not see them. There's also some like you take out these what they call board contracts because this outer worldly board place people will basically give you rewards if you like kill certain of our enemies and stuff. I think I had like two of those in. I never really made use of them. I didn't find them particularly beneficial. They give you like upgrades for your guns and stuff, which are like these relics you can slot in to upgrade your guns. Didn't use those. I'll be honest, the amount I picked up were better than whatever they gave me in my experience. And there were a couple of assault measures that basically I had no interest in. But character-wise, really enjoyed all the characters. Jessie Faden is a brilliant protagonist. She's so well written. As a character, and those other characters you meet are so well written and interesting and strange and so forth. The game itself is a real strange place. And one other thing I love about the game, it's got live action sequences in it that you'll like record it. You'll come across these like training videos, and they're basically they've literally gone made a set and got actual actors. Well, the actors are. Well, the main actor you see in the game in the films is he plays a character called Casper Darling. He's actually the voice actor for Alan Wake. Same actor, he's their voice actor. So they use him in the game as like he does these live action sequences and stuff. And it's just, I love our live action sequences in games. It adds such a bit of fun to them. It's like the old Red Alert games. And it's so well put together. It's so interesting. It's a bit Metroidvania style that you can go back to areas. You'll get better. Like you'll find areas that are locked off with security cards, and as you get better, because you can go back and open them up and get into them and find things and stuff. Mostly storyline related stuff. Very rarely anything game changing, but you can get a lot of stuff. But no, it's a real good game.
So. I need to try it out. I've been meaning to play it for like forever, and so. I think I don't know if it still is, but it was part of the Game Pass.
I believe it was, yes.
Yeah.
I got it through Humble Bundle. It was I'm subscribed to Humble Bundle, and it was one of the free games they gave away.
Oh, nice.
And it's the Ultimate Edition as well that comes with the DLC.
Yeah, I just checked when you started talking about it. I checked Steam, and it's on sale right now for 10 euros. For the Ultimate Edition.
That's a bargain.
That would be around, what, 8 or 9 quid? UK? Yeah?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Yeah, and from what I remember in terms of Steam, I think the euro to dollar conversion is the same. So if it's like 10 euros, it's also $10.
Yeah, I can believe that.
It's cheap.
It's cheap.
I might actually get it.
I really recommend it, Zay, but I've had it sat in my library for such a long time, and I keep thinking, I must play that game, and I feel it's just me, fuck it, I'm going to play Control. I've had it sat installed for such a long time as well. It's one of the games that I kept meaning to play. But yeah, you know when you'll get that game, which you'll play, and you'll be doing something else, think, I can't wait to get home and play more of that game or more of this game. And I'm just going to go play for a couple of hours in that game and so forth and come right. You know? And it's like that. Yeah. I don't get it very much these days, but it's like it's a game I'd quite happily sit for hours playing.
Yeah.
And I did. It was a very good game. Really good game. So very much recommend
I love games like that where you feel like you can't you can't leave the game. You can't take a break, or when you are actually taking a break, you're like, I gotta play this game again. I know for a fact that when my daughter comes home again, we're gonna be playing a game, a new one that we've been dying to play. It just came out not too long ago. It's part of the Yakuza series.
Oh, Yakuza,
sorry. They kind of branched off to another name, Like a Dragon. I believe it's something like The Man Who Erased His Name or something like that. We've played through all the games so far. all of them, and now this one's come out, and me and my daughter are like, yes, we gotta play this.
Oh, can't wait to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, we just noticed it. So she was home. She's just been home this weekend until it's Wednesday. No, it's Thursday. Until yesterday. Yeah. So she was home until yesterday. Yeah. I think we noticed it Sunday or Monday or something like that. It was part of the Game Pass on the Xbox. It was like, we had this on our wish list. I've saved so much money from games that I had on my wish list that I didn't, you know, got through the Game Pass instead.
Yeah.
We're so looking forward to that. I can't wait. But it's what, you know, usually those games are like, I don't know, you know, multiple weekends for us to go through them because.
I can't wait to hear you talk about it.
Yeah. Probably going to be next time then. I'll be able to talk about some. Looking forward to it, though. Those games are absolutely amazing.
I look forward to that. I had Xbox Game Pass. I liked Xbox Game Pass. Unfortunately, because it was done through the Windows Store my PC, it bugged out. And basically, I could not install anything from it.
That's weird.
And I tried, was it installed, couldn't run it. So basically, I couldn't get the games either installed or run, one or the other. And I tried all the fixes online to try and get this to work, to try and get it worked, because it worked for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then just stopped working. And I had several games on that I was trying out using and playing through it. And I just couldn't get it to work. And it tended to be a fairly common issue. You know, that include, like, you know, reinstall the Windows Store, reinstall, you know, Xbox, reinstall this stuff, unload it, and you have to, like, not just uninstall it, but, like, dig deep into your registry, delete certain keys to make sure it's dead. Nope, nothing worked. And the final response was, reformat your PC. And it's like, I ain't doing that. That's not worth it. At that stage, it's not worth it. As much as I enjoyed it, so if I had an Xbox, I would have Game Pass. But as I've gone, I don't own any console. I won't do it. So, yeah, but I like Game Pass while I had it.
I'd say, I get the best out of both worlds by having the Game Pass because some of the games are available on PC as well. So if there's something that I'd rather play on the PC rather than the Xbox, which is, you know, usually what happens nowadays after I got a new machine, I don't tend to play on the Xbox too much anymore, only when my daughter's home, because a lot of the games we play, we can play on that. Yeah. And that's hooked up in her room right now. So yeah. But having the Game Pass, absolutely amazing, because, you know, some of the games I can play on the PC. Annoying bug, though, that you've had, a really annoying bug, that would have pissed me off. I understand the whole, I don't want to reformat my PC. I'm OCD enough, though, that I probably would have done. If there's something wrong with my machine, I'm so OCD that I would probably have done it.
It's just, I treat my machine so much to get it how I like it. I just can't be faced to do it all again. I'll do it when I build a new PC, and I just, I don't do all that. I have to say, I've got one of the other things that, I met up with Skaz yesterday to have a coffee, and he very kindly gave me my Christmas present early.
Ooh.
And he very kindly brought me a Apple TV. Very kind. Ooh. Very kind of him. So I got that set up, because I've been planning to get one. I met him a few months ago, so I'm going to get myself an Apple TV. He said, don't get yourself an Apple TV. See what happens at Christmas. Oh, okay then. But Apple TV, you can install Steam Link. And because my office here, my office here and where my house is all networked, all on the same network.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to plug into my network, and I was actually to Steam Link, and I was able to sit in my living room playing games running on my PC in my living room.
Oh, nice.
So, and because obviously you've not seen my place, so the office is quite, it's not a long walk, but it's outside my office. It's not in a building outside. So if it's pouring down with rain and stuff, and mm-hmm. it's a wooden, it's a log cabin, basically. So it's very, it's nice and comfortable, but it's not that way. It's not brilliant inside, not like a house. So it does get cold in here. Okay. And even with a little heater on, it gets quite cold. When it gets down, if it gets down to like sort of like minus figures, it's basically not, you can't work out here very well. So that basically sort of like meant that sort of game time, I basically have to suffer to play a game. But now I can link up to it, so the PC can sit here running, and I can just sit there and I can play it on my TV. Happy days.
But when it's hooked up to your Apple TV, how do you control the game then?
So I need to buy. We tried yesterday with a PlayStation pad, and it worked fine.
Oh, nice.
The Apple TV. I have got a Stadia pad from when we used to use Stadia, which was a good game system. But they released a patch to the pad to make it Bluetooth like mode, and okay. That patch bricked my pad. I can't use the Stadia pad. Nothing really recognises it anymore. So we borrowed the PlayStation 4 pad from my parents' house next door. Borrowed that PlayStation 4 pad because they have PlayStation 4. And that worked straight away, no problem. I was able to load the games up, play it. Interestingly, I couldn't play Control, but I think that's because I disabled controller input, so ignored the controller. If you disable that, well, of course you'll be able to play the game. But I was able to play another game. We just launched it, and it worked straight away. Had to do a couple of tricky things to make it play, because one issue I do have is my monitor I use at home is ultra-wide,
mm-hmm.
whereas my TV is a normal widescreen. So it tends to letterbox it. And when you launch a game, what happens is, because the game thinks it's running on an ultra-wide monitor, the game might be set to show a widescreen resolution, because if it's an ultra-wide monitor, it basically you get letterboxing on both sides and the top as well, so you get like a black screen way around. Found a workaround for that, which worked, and that was fine. I could play the game normally. But I was thrilled just on playing a game running on my PC, which is the other side of the house, as it were, through like 100 meters of cable, which I know is 100 meters is nothing for electricity. It's not exactly far, but it's still just nice to be able to like, oh, I can just control a PC. So now all I just need to do is now set a PC up so I can remote start and remote shut it down from like my laptop. So I can actually load my laptop in, remote start the PC, load up Steam, play the game, and then shut the PC down again.
What was it called again? Steam what? Steam Link.
Yeah.
Steam Link. I need to check. I have the, what's it called? What the hell is that one called? The GeForce equivalent thing box.
GeForce Now.
That's the service. I have a box like you have your Apple TV. I have a box.
Yeah.
People know what it's called. I can't remember right now. My brain's mush. I have that one. Maybe the Steam Link is on that too.
So Steam Link used to be a piece of hardware. Because I owned an original Steam Link bit of hardware that you plugged into your TV, and it came with a Steam controller. The hardware basically proved not very popular. So now you can download Steam Link, but you can download it on like any Apple device or Android device just as an app. You can download it on your phone. You can play.
Then it should work in there because it runs off Android, I think. If you have an App Store and everything.
If you can access if you can access like the Google Store, then you're probably mm-hmm. right. I tried using it on my TV because my TV has got its own little App Store as well, but hasn't got Steam Link on it. It had Steam Link on it, but it didn't work very well on the TV. That's probably the controller, to be fair. It worked, and it was. There was a bit of latency, but not that bad. It was playable. There was definitely a slight delay in the controller to moving to what happened on screen. But after a while, you adapted to it and didn't notice it anymore.
Yeah.
So definitely
it's
playable.
It's the same with GeForce Now. I've had that on the device I have in the loop. I don't know. Why the hell can't I remember what it's called? But I have it on there, and I've tried playing games on it.
Let's have a look for it.
Hooking up a controller for it, and there's a slight, ever so slight delay, but it's so tiny. It's not like the games are unplayable.
Shield, GeForce Shield.
That's the one. That's the Shield. But yeah, I have that one.
Oh, fantastic.
That was actually due to, like, when I went to the UK and visited you guys, and Skaz was showing me his Shield.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, that's cool. Because before, in my living room, I had some apps were, or some streaming services were run through my Xbox. Then there's a few Danish streaming services that used to work on there but didn't anymore. And then they used to work on the TV, but then they discontinued the app. And then you had to get a one of those Chromecast, and I was like, dude, I had four different devices hooked up to my machine or yeah. up to my TV that I had to swap between depending on what we had to see. I was like, no, just no.
Yeah.
Get one of them Shields, because I had a Raspberry Pi as well hooked up. I was like, enough.
Yeah.
Get the Shield, hook that up. We use it for everything now.
Yeah.
That runs everything.
That's my sort of thing. That's what I like. Everything in one place.
Yeah.
It's like, it's why I buy games on Steam that I already own and I've got the discs for. It's because I can't be asked to download, reinstall them again. I was like, I'll have it on Steam. It's in one list then. It's why I do that still. It's why I'm not a great fan. I don't tend to use many other game services. So I have got an Epic Game Store account. I've got an EA account as well. That I've not actually got anything on that. I've got it all through Steam.
Yeah.
I have a Ubisoft, whatever it's called, account as well. But I try and avoid using because I just don't like them, truthfully. So,
yeah, so the Steam Link, do you have to pay for that service? Nope.
Or free.
I love that because that's the thing. I already have the Steam. I own all the games. I already have the perfect whatever thingy account. I already have the EA Origin thingy and all that shit. I have them all.
Yeah.
I have games on all of them. I own shit on all of them.
It actually streams on your PC. It just streams on your PC.
Yeah. The thing is, though, like, and I understand that, you know, when you use the GeForce Now, you're then not hooking up to your normal PC. You're then hooking up to someone like a computer out there somewhere in the world.
The cloud,
that's then streaming it back to you, and therefore you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
But if you have a machine that can drive all the games yourself, but you just want to sit in the living room and play it on the TV, then it's fucking awesome.
Like, yeah. That's
Steam Link.
Yeah, that's what Steam Link is. So a couple of requirements for Steam Link. Ideally, it prefers wired connections over wireless. So ideally, your TV and your PC will be on the same network, like we've connected with a wired connection, ideally. You can do it over Wi-Fi, but you'll probably get a worse connection.
Everything's in my house is wired.
Really?
With the exception of phones and tablets and stuff, yeah?
Smart man. I don't know why anyone wouldn't wire stuff. If it's something that doesn't move, wire it. You know, if a TV, it's quicker, it's better.
It adds reliability all the way. Because everyone's like, but you have Wi-Fi. Yeah, cool. But it's not reliable. Because speeds and Wi-Fi, they go like up and down all the time. And all of a sudden, it craps out. And they're like, oh no, I was in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
Just no.
Wi-Fi's not bad, but it's not particularly reliable.
I've had that happen. Like, I used to play poker back in the day. Wi-Fi, not reliable. Like, if that cuts out in the middle of, like, a final table or something like that, and you're up for, like, you know, a reasonable amount of monies, you're going to get angry. You're going to get angry if you get booted from the game.
Yeah. See, that's what we should do for games night. Not in the case of all, but what's when we do a 24-hour stream. There must be some, like, poker game you can play. It's not like a money-based game, you know, just a fun type game. Must be some poker
There's,
game.
Poker Night at Freddy's or something like that.
I know there was one called Poker Night at the Infantry, which you caught at the Poker Night at the Infantry, which was made by. I know the company you can't buy it anymore because the characters in the game basically ran out the licenses for.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's some Poker Night game you can play that we could do for like next 24-hour game stream. Perhaps we get in there like sort of few people and play poker for a few hours.
Sure.
That'd be hilarious.
That'd be fun. That'd be very fun.
Perfect. Right, so is there anything else from yourself?
No, I think that's it. I'll be better prepared next time. I'll have I'll have shit to talk about, games and stuff.
Yep.
But all my time gets used on well, this time around I had the mic to be set up and then I have my music to focus on and yeah.
It's finding time to do stuff is tricky now, isn't it?
Last 4, 5, 6 months have been pretty busy.
Yeah.
Because I have a band as well, and we've been recruiting drummers and trying to recruit a singer and stuff like that. So a lot of that landed on me or not. Well, I took it upon myself to handle stuff like that because. So I've had a lot of stuff to do. So not so much time for games.
No, that is the trouble. Games, as much as we love games, being the sort of the hobby. It tends to be the thing that gets dropped first because, I really need to focus on this and so forth and, yeah.
Well, I get that, but it shouldn't because gaming for me is one of those it's where I, recharge my batteries.
Yes, agreed.
So if you go with stress in your life for too long, without doing the things that you like, you have to shove that away. Eventually, you'll be tapped out.
Yes.
You'll be out of energy. You won't work. You won't function properly. So you got to make time for the things. And games, yes, I know games are not something like that is super serious, but if it's something that recharges your batteries, it's important. It could be important. It's it is for me at least.
I think games, because they tend to be a hobby that's no one else relies on you for, unless you're like in a guild or something, like a MMO guild or something. But like your band, for example, there are other people who rely on you for the band. So whether you class it as a hobby or not, I don't know if you do or not, if you see or like you just do it as for fun, or whether you do it to sort of like go and do gigs and stuff and get some money out of it. I don't know what you do with your band.
We have desires to go out and gig a lot.
Fantastic.
Record some music in studios and get it released.
So when will you be headlining Copenhagen?
That probably won't happen. So the way it is when you get to my age and everyone has kids, it's gonna be almost a fact, because unless you can play like 50 gigs a year almost, no one's gonna, unless you're really, really good at producing and writing music and you're really good at the whole SoMe thing, then you have to get really, really lucky.
Have you got anything like on YouTube at all, like your music and stuff?
No. Not the new stuff. We're not even done with it. I think we have 12 tracks that are done in terms of writing the music, but we have no vocals for it. We have we need someone to write all the lyrics and come up with like song melodies and shit like that. So there's still only halfway done. So we have demo tracks and stuff, but it's not like accessible to anyone.
So people can't check you out yet.
No,
but in the future, hopefully.
Well, yeah, and I'm also trying to, when I have the time, work on a little project for myself. So I have plans on trying to get something done and get something released on my own as well at some point.
Oh, cool.
So yeah.
Well, we'll watch this space. We'll see. We'll soon have Zebra. Glastonbury heading the line in the axe.
I don't think my own stuff. I think that's more in the sense of the fun of writing the stuff, the fun of being creative and creating this piece of music and getting it out there on Spotify or wherever it goes, through DistroKid or something, and then just that. I don't think I want to take some of my own stuff, make it too serious. At least not to begin with. Maybe later on. I don't know.
Watch this.
I think I'd leave it at that. Focus on other things with the band.
Let's know if everything happens, because I'd love to hear your stuff when it does.
All right, dude.
So, But yeah, so this is my question. So that's what I'm saying. Game tends to be the hobby you drop because you don't generally rely on other, no one else is relying on you.
Yes.
A lot of time. Whereas a lot of other hobbies are collaborative.
Yes.
So if you drop out of a band, you're letting you feel like you're letting people down.
Oh yeah.
So you tend
definitely.
To push that forward. So that's why game tends, unfortunately, as life gets on, you tend to push game to the back. And in my case, game because like, oh, I would do some game, but I've got to finish editing that video off because I've like not optimized my time properly, not got around to editing it properly, and that mm-hmm. sort of stuff tends to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to now put more time to gaming. That I used to. I'm still trying to put, like, I tend to try and pick games that aren't, I unless I've got like a week off and I know I'm not doing anything, I tend not to pick a game that's going to take a long time. I try and look for games that are between sort of 10 and 15 hours long, because I've basically got a chance I can get them finished and I can play them in like a couple of, I can play them in a couple of weeks. So Control is about 20 hours long, but I've been on holiday, so I've had time to play it. So I try and do that with games, just to sort of give me a fighting chance. I tend to play a lot shorter short games these days because I can actually get them finished. Mm-hmm. But it'd be a long time if I play the next, Elder Scrolls game, because that would take me a long time to get through it. Having said that, now I can couch play games. I'll probably do more of it. Because I can now, because you get home of an evening, it's like, can I be asked to go all the way to the office, unlock the office, start everything up, just play a game for a couple of hours and then have to shut it all down and go back. But mm-hmm. if I can just like start the TV, remote start the PC and load up a game there, I'll probably spend more time gaming now. So.
Well, that's good. I mean, if it's, I understand the whole not wanting to go out in a really cold office and freeze your ass off trying to enjoy a game, and you end up not enjoying it because you're freezing your ass off.
Yeah.
Being more comfy in your living room, playing the game on your television makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And we got to remember to do the things that make us happy. You know.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's important. It's important.
It is. Don't forget to do, yeah. Exactly. You're absolutely right. Don't sacrifice your hobby. You know, you need to have that time to de-stress yourself. You're absolutely right, as you said earlier.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that little public safety announcement. I think it's time to end this evening. So I want to thank everybody who has kindly joined us this evening, our Twitch viewers and our YouTube viewers. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. If you've enjoyed, you can check us out on our next podcast, which is going to be slightly different. It's going to be on Wednesday, the 6th of December. This is due to work commitments. We've had to switch around a little bit. We'll be doing our pre-Christmas podcast, and then a couple weeks later, you'll get the Mysterious Christmas podcast, which may appear to be pre-recorded. And well, some of it's pre-recorded, but I can assure you, it'll be totally live. Yes, indeed. Yeah. We don't pre-record. We won't be pre-recording it at all. and there might be a special guest.
What guests?
I'm not going to say anything yet because it's not. But there might be a special guest on the Christmas one. Watch this space.
I like guests. Yeah. I like guests.
So look out for that. You can join us our next games night, which will be the 7th of December. Which will be on the Thursday at 8:30. You can check out my Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/StuffItGram. And you can check the podcast out on its Twitch channel, twitch.tv/RandNerds, or youtube.com/RandNerds. And we're very hopefully shortly, it's been created. I'm sure we'll work out a stream to it multiple times. We should hopefully have a Kick channel start. It's created, but we'll hopefully stream to that soon as well.
Yes.
You can check out our website at wellness.co.uk. And once again, thank you for joining. From me, the StuffItGram.
Same old.
We'll see you in just under a fortnight's time. Thank you, everybody.
Cheers.
Bye.